In Matthew chapter 7, we have a descriptive example or illustration of what it will be like at the judgment. This is found not only in Matthew 7, but it's also found in Luke chapter 13. And we'll get to that in just a minute. The text that we're going to study this evening will be from Matthew chapter 7. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, though, and he said this, beginning at 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 1. He said, "Moreover, brethren, I would not, or I should not, that you should be ignorant how that all," and I'm going to emphasize that word all, "how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat, and all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock." It's capitalized in your Bible for this reason, because he says, "and that rock was Christ." This morning in Matthew chapter 16, we studied Jesus telling Peter that the confession that he made was given, something given him, that information was given him by the Father. He said, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," Jesus speaking of himself, "I will build my church." Matthew 16 and verse 18. Peter said in 1 Peter 2 verse 6, "Wherefore it is also contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. Everyone that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient whereunto they are appointed." That statement there, that they stumble at the word, being disappointment, that word speaking about the chief cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ, is a parallel to what we're about to read in Matthew chapter 7. I mentioned this morning 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11 that says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So we find that Jesus told Peter that he was going to build the church upon himself, that he was that spiritual rock. And we find that imagery all the way back into the Old Testament. And he is that chief cornerstone that has been laid for the foundation, the building of the church. And there is no other foundation that can be laid. The foundation of the Lord's church was not Peter. It was not any other human being. It was Jesus the Christ, and it is Jesus the Christ. So we come to Matthew chapter 7, and we realize that the house being built here, Jesus is going to talk about us building our house and what we choose to build it on. But the building, the house being built here, is the spiritual life of the individual, as we will see. The soul, Jesus is going to teach us, that builds their life by obeying the words of Christ, will not be moved by the storms of life. But more importantly, they will not be moved by the storms of judgment to come. Paul has said in 2 Thessalonians 1, beginning at verse 6, speaking of how that they were being persecuted and that God was not ignorant of their persecution. He said, "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest." In other words, God will give rest to those who are troubled. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So what we find here is that when the Lord does return, there are going to be storms. There are going to be storms of judgment. And we can be protected from those. We can be protected from the storms of life. But being protected from the storms that will come in that day is most important. So if you have your Bible open to Matthew chapter 7, I want to mention verse 15 before we go any further. Then we'll drop on down. But Jesus said here, and I mentioned this to put everything that we're going to observe into context. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." So he starts off by talking about false prophets. Now drop on down to verse 21. He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, Have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils or demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. And the rains came, the rain descended rather, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as one of the scribes. Jesus here tells us some things that are very important. In this passage in verse 22, we hear some of the saddest words that could ever be heard, and that is, depart from me, I never knew you. Jesus said that in the judgment, there are many people that are going to hear these exact words. Well, we ask the question, if a person has been performing miracles and doing all of the things these people claim to have done, then why in the world would they not be saved? Well, there are some answers to that. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? It's parallel to what he says here in verse 21. This is said in the context of false prophets and false teachers. There was something going on here. There was something about these people and what they were claiming. It's possible that some of these people had been among those whom Jesus had given power to cast out demons. You know, the Bible teaches us, Colossians 3 and verse 17, that to do something in the name of the Lord means to do it by his authority. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. All right, so we can do things in the name of the Lord in one of two different ways. In the first way, we can do it by his authority. The only other way is to do something without his authority as a false prophet or as a false disciple and then blame him for it. And then just say we're doing it in his name. The one would be approved when we do the things that are done by his authority and his direction through the word. But when we do those things of our own volition that for which we have no authority, the Lord is not pleased. The Lord goes on to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, if they had actually been casting out demons, who might they have been? Remember in Luke chapter 10, we read about 70 people that were sent out to go and to preach the gospel, and they had the ability to cast out demons. It could have been that it was some of those people who actually were able to do what these people claimed, but when the church came into existence on the day of Pentecost, and from that time forward, they never obeyed the gospel. They never came to Christ. They could have been people that were empowered by him, but never came to him. When he said, I never knew you, he wasn't saying, I never knew your name, I didn't know where you lived. He's saying, I never knew you as a faithful disciple. I never knew you in salvation. It could have been that these were people that were just telling stories, that they were false prophets. It could have been people that thought they were that by just doing religious things, they could earn their way into heaven. And they may have convinced themselves in their own mind. They could have deluded themselves to the point that they believed that they were doing the things of the Lord, even though they had no authority for them. And if that was the case, it was not done in the Lord's authority. It could also be that they were just telling stories, that what they're saying wasn't true, and that they knew it all along. It could have been any of those things today. But notice that if these people were telling the truth about what they had done, then they were not people who had never met the Lord or who had never believed on the Lord. In Mark chapter 9, verse 38 beginning, there's an interesting interchange between Jesus and the disciples. John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us, and we forbade him because he followed not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can speak lightly, that can lightly speak evil of me, for he that is not against us is on our part. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, if a person really is casting out demons, then he's on our side. Here we have people that are claiming to do it, and yet Jesus said, you are working iniquity, and I never knew you. So there is a serious problem with these people and what they have said. The one thing that we can say about them is that they were never true disciples because they did not keep his word. Verse 26. All right. That is why they were said, and the English Standard Version of verse 23 says here, that they practiced lawlessness. They claimed to heal people, cast out demons, do all of these things, but the Lord said, you're practicing lawlessness. Why? Whatever they were doing it without the authority of Christ. They immediately began to argue with the Lord, hoping, well, maybe I can convince him to reconsider. I was a pretty good person. I did some of these things. And maybe if it were some of the people that Jesus empowered before he went to the cross to cast out demons, well, for that short period of time where that was happening, maybe it was some of them that never followed. And, you know, maybe they thought, well, we can change his mind. So we're going to bargain with the Lord. But we learn some things here. When the day comes that we leave this world and we go into eternity, and especially when the day of judgment comes, it will be too late to listen. It will be too late to believe. It will be too late to obey what the Lord has said. It will be too late to prove our love for the Lord. When we leave this earth, our chances are gone. These people, undoubtedly, from what Jesus said, had their opportunity to do what he told them to do, to follow him faithfully, but they never did. And he said they worked iniquity. Hard thing for people to accept today is that a person can proclaim his faith, tell other people how much they believe in Jesus. They can advertise their good works, make sure that everybody knows what a good so-called Christian they are, even if they are a false prophet, verse 15, which is the context here. Are there people today that will stand in a pulpit and claim that they are God's servant while they're teaching things that are contrary to the Bible? Yes. Do they believe what they're teaching? They might very well believe it. Some teach it and they know that what they're teaching is not accurate. But they love the attention. And they're not going to give it up. There are many people who can be recognized by the community and by the world as the salt of the earth. One of the best people you could ever want to meet. But never listen to the words of the Lord. Never obey the gospel. Never do what God has told us to do. Never live the way that God has told us to live. And these people, according to what Jesus says, are going to be surprised at the judgment. Oh, Lord, wait a minute. We did all of these things. You owe us salvation. We were good workers for you, they thought, but they didn't listen to him. Why call you me Lord, Lord, Jesus asked, and do not the things which I say? Luke 6 and verse 46. So Jesus says that it's good to hear the gospel, but without doing it, there is no benefit. In his description of the house, the spiritual house that we will build, in verse 24, he said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. See, that's the key. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. He says, I will liken him unto a wise man. Now, everybody likes to be recognized for doing something good, right? We love to be recognized for doing things that are special. We enjoy being recognized for completing a difficult task. But you know, Jesus is not talking about the praise that we'll get at an awards banquet, but at the praise that we either will or won't get in the presence of people like Abraham and Isaac and Peter and Paul and a defeated Satan himself. Can you imagine the look on Satan's face when the Lord turns to us and says, well done, thou good and faithful servant? It would probably be tempting for us to look at him and smirk, but that wouldn't be right in the context of what was happening. But we're going to be there in his presence and in the presence of all these others. The world may not recognize godly wisdom, but Jesus will. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He says, I'm drawing a line of demarcation between the false prophet and the hypocrites and the person who hears, believes, and obeys. And there is a difference. It's a personal promise from the Lord himself. We would all like to know that we're saved, and we can know that we're saved. But wouldn't it be wonderful to know that the Lord looks at us and says, "You are a wise person. You are a wise person because you built your spiritual house upon me. You heard the words that I told you, and you did what I told you. You followed me. I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, because it was built upon a rock." What does Jesus think of us tonight? Does he think that we're wise? Does he think that we're foolish? Well, if we hear his will and we follow it, he tells us, he said, "I will compare you to a wise man." Man, anthropos, meaning mankind, man or woman, a wise person. Well, what's the alternative? He said that if we hear his words but we refuse to obey them, he said, "I will liken that person or compare that person to a foolish man." You know, the world is really rather quick to see a spiritual imposter, someone who claims to be one thing but really is not. This is one who knows the teaching of Christ, who claims to be a faithful disciple, and yet bears the fruit, like the false teacher, of worldliness, and therefore destroys his reputation and loses his credibility, loses his influence. Many years ago, there was a man who liked to tell people that he was a member of the Lord's church. But his words were so vile and so vulgar. And he would attend services once a month or once every 3 months, maybe, sometimes not that much. He was a person who served in a public role in the community. And he had access to a radio. And whenever he would key the mic on that radio and begin to talk, everyone in the department would cringe and wonder, what is he going to say now? It embarrassed not only the department, but it embarrassed the church. And everyone was afraid. No one knew what he was going to say, but they knew whatever it wasn't going to be good. And yet he claimed to be a Christian. Where was he building his house? On the will of Christ, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, that which is good, to the use of edifying, that may bring grace unto the hearers. Ephesians 4:28-29. There was a preacher who powerfully and regularly taught lessons about morality in the family. He had a lot of good influence until he got caught molesting children. And he lost it all. Verse 15, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing and inwardly are ravening wolves." What's wrong with all of these people? Well, for a while, everything looks good on the outside, right? But then they begin to reveal their heart. And that's the problem. That was the problem with these people here in Matthew chapter 7. Their heart was never right, so their lives were never right. They never accepted the words that Jesus had given to them and then followed them, then obeyed them. Jesus had warned his disciples to beware of false teachers, and the reason he gave is because if they plant the wrong seed, the wrong plant's going to grow. You don't plant watermelon seed and expect tomatoes, or vice versa. Whatever we plant, whatever we sow, that's what we're going to reap. A principle that's found throughout Scripture. But Jesus taught that. And it might take a while for us to discover it, but the fruit of a bad heart, it will eventually appear and be evident. And nothing we can say or do to change it once that happened. So what went wrong with these who will argue their case at the judgment? Well, if they were telling the truth about what they were done, they were counting on their past ability to work miracles, not present because it didn't exist at this point. But their past ability to work miracles as an unconditional guarantee of salvation. "Well, Lord, you let me work a miracle back here one day, so, you know, I thought that was enough. I thought that was good." They couldn't have been more mistaken. And we might ask ourselves the question, how could anyone who had ever had the miraculous power to do something, a miraculous power to heal the sick or to raise the dead or do any of those things or to speak in tongues, how could anyone who ever had miraculous power be lost? That's just incomprehensible, right? No. God often used people to accomplish His will, even though, and gave them the miraculous power to do certain things, even though He knew they were going to ultimately be lost. Saul, the Old Testament king, became a wicked man, but God allowed him to prophesy, 1 Samuel 10 and verse 11, and 1 Samuel 18 and verse 10. So here's a man who became evil, but yet God allowed him to prophesy. That was miraculous. What about Balaam? Numbers 22 through 24. He was a man. He was a prophet of God. God allowed him to prophesy, and he was a greedy man. He was a wicked man. He wanted money for what he was doing for the Lord. But I'll tell you one that stands out even more than that. In the New Testament, what about Judas Iscariot? What about Judas Iscariot? Judas was one of the 12, but Jesus said about him, "Have I not chosen you, and yet one of you is a devil?" John 6, verses 70 and 71. Jesus knew what kind of person he was going to be, but what did Jesus allow him to do? To heal the sick, to cast out demons. Now, Judas Iscariot will probably not try to stand in the judgment and say, "Lord, have I not done all of these things?" because he knew he betrayed the innocent blood. But there were other people that went out that were performing miracles. So it's possible that some of those could be there. But God sometimes did use wicked men to accomplish His will. But He never did save a person whose heart wasn't right. Saul is an example. Solomon is an example. 1 Kings 11. So it comes down to what kind of heart we have. If we have a heart that hears these sayings of mine, Jesus says in verse 24, and doeth them, not just hears them, or understands, or appreciates, but that doeth them. He says, that's the person I will say is a wise man who's building his spiritual house on that which was right. These people, if they had really done what they said they had done, they were apparently really proud of their displays of power, of all that they had done. We might have done the greatest works in our community that anybody could ever do and get a pat on the back every time we turn around. But if we have not heard the sayings of Jesus and put them to heart and put them into practice in our lives, it will do us absolutely zero good in the judgment. We cannot earn our salvation. And we're not going to be saved just on doing good deeds. There are religious organizations around the world that are probably doing some good things. They're probably feeding some people that are hungry. And they're probably giving something to drink to people who are in need. But have they obeyed the sayings of Jesus? Have they obeyed the gospel? Jesus is telling here that with false prophets, some of them may be even really deep down believing what they're teaching. But they're not, they're blaming it on the Lord, but they're not doing it by His authority. They're not doing what He has said to do. Jesus says in the judgment, we can brag, we can boast, we can try to negotiate. It's not going to matter. Because it's just such a simple principle that if we hear the words of Jesus and we follow the words of Jesus, we know that we will be in good standing in the judgment. And not only that, but the Lord will look at us and compare us to a wise person. Isn't that what we want? Don't we want to be a wise person and not a foolish person? If we want to be a wise person, we're going to build our spiritual lives on what Jesus has taught us. We're going to hear His word and we're going to follow it. Jesus addressed similar hearts on another occasion when He said, and this is from Matthew 15 and verse 8, He said, "These people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Their heart is far from me. So Jesus says there are people that will claim that they love me. There are people that will claim that they're following me. There are people that will do a lot of things, and some of those are good things, and say they're doing it in my name, not by my authority, but they're blaming me for it, giving me credit for it. There are some things that go on in the world religiously. I would hate to blame God for that. Hate to blame the Holy Spirit for it. We need to listen to what Jesus says here and go back and realize verse 24 tells us that we need to not only hear, we need to hear everything that he says on the subject. And that we need to do that. So in our text, Jesus describes a people who will learn too late that true discipleship requires total commitment. True discipleship demands total commitment. Both the wise man and the foolish man in this teaching. Both of them heard the word of the Lord, right? Yeah, both of them heard it. He tells us that they did. The one who builds on the rock is the one who hears and does the will of the Lord. The one who builds on the sand is the one who hears and ignores the will of the Lord. Even though he may blame the Lord for the things he does in his life, but he does it without the Lord's authority. But the question for us is the same thing as it was for them in their lifetimes. What am I doing? What am I doing with my life? Where am I building? Where am I building my spiritual house? Am I building it on Jesus Christ? By hearing his words and doing them, verse 24? Or am I building on the sand? Someone says, well, I'm not really doing either one. Well, if you're doing either one, you are doing one of them. Because if we're not doing anything, we're building on the sand. Because no matter how morally upright we may be, no matter how much community service we may perform, no matter how popular we may become, no matter how much the world thinks of us, if we're not following the words of Jesus, we're building on the sand. But, of course, if we are obeying the words of the Lord, we're building on the rock. And we're living in a house that will never be destroyed. That will never be destroyed. In 2 Timothy 2, in verse 19, Paul said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Think about it. Paul said, the Lord knows every one that is his. He also knows those who are not. He knows those who are going to argue with him and negotiate in the judgment. And yet he said, I will say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that do iniquity. I want to emphasize one last time before we close. These were people who, if they were anywhere even close to doing what they claimed, were doing good things for other people. And yet Jesus said they were committing iniquity. Why? Because they were helping people? No. Because they weren't following his direction. They weren't doing his will. So when we hear the words of Jesus, let's be the wise person. Let's build upon that rock, who is Christ. It's what Jesus told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. When we hear his word, we follow his will, we'll become a part of that church. We will be building upon that rock. We'll act out of faith because we believe he's the Son of God, and we'll turn away from our sins in repentance as he commanded, Luke 13, 3 and 5. And we'll confess our faith, and we will be buried with Christ in baptism for the purpose of the remission of sins. Acts 2 and verse 38, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Have you heard the words of Jesus? I'm not talking about just tonight. If you're here tonight, it's because you're a person who does believe, more than likely, that Jesus is the Son of God. You've read your Bible. You know what Jesus says. You know what he teaches. But have you acted upon it? Have you been obedient to the gospel? As a child of God, you know what the Bible says. You know how the Bible tells us to live and to worship and to love one another. Have we been doing that? Jesus said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Are you that wise builder? I feel sure that we all are. I hope that we all are. But if you haven't been building wisely, building on Jesus, by hearing his words and doing them, then why not start tonight? If we could help, would you come as we stand and as we sing? There's a fountain.